bridge and another one.
Are you towards?
It was on 7. It was 3 big ones to hit it, like so big circle on that.
You need to tap some
Sit here.
He was scared.
Trying to sit on this side because of the complaint that suggestion. My suggestion.
But there won't be enough room. Curtis, me.
Curtis is calling in.
Oh, he's calling in. Okay.
Oops. I like your dress.
Thank you. The website updates, is that the fact that they are just, they just do, what do they do?
How are you? Good, how are you? Well, good, sir. Nice to see you too. Nice to see you too. Okay, we can use the best. Okay, we just upgraded a little bit. Okay, it's just a kind of a small desk. It actually fits in. All right, small details. Yeah, there's something I wanted to add before. Hi Chris, how are you? All right, good to see you.
Good to see you too.
Congratulations, I guess.
That's to be seen.
One big one right next to the footwell bridge, and then this one over here. So this is this big one that showed up, but here there was like a whole bunch of stretch marks. I'm like, ah! Here it is. It's back here.
See all the little marks over here on the pier? And then the green one at the flagpole. Over at Ken's place, right here is Town Hall, the big one. Look at all around the tennis court.
Is this better for you, Miss Pauline?
Lunch. First, we can see you. So maybe we can hear you.
Did you get everything fixed in your house?
Yesterday. Five days without TVs, or was it just the outlet? No, I had everything. I saw my TVs. This is where I said, this is the parking lot where I live. You talk to me.
I said, Tim, let's verify him. He's not his back. He thinks it's his, but his father was out before he spoke to him. If he kept his throat there, he's coming for his.
Now,
maybe we'll address that.
You have a
drink, huh? Yeah. I went under me. It wasn't very ladylike, but that's what I did.
Hey guys.
They were saying about talking about the sediments and everything.
Yeah, that's a big.
Sorry, Lou, I got my computer right here.
I just, we talked about this before with the way the dam is not being used.
This is that storm we have.
Lightning strikes.
This is the big one. It hit right down here at foot of the bridge. It like bounced across our pier. It hit the pole. It hit right here at town hall. It hit over at Ken's house.
How's your little dog do?
He didn't like it at all, did he?
Come on, see the little fireworks, doesn't it?
Yeah.
There was another big one.
And Dennis was sitting across from me, and there was like all these little blue stars that were going around him. And I was like, well, that's new.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I don't like this.
Where's that at?
She's like,
what about?
She's crazy.
Yeah, they're expensive now. Yeah. Very pricey.
All right, I know we got a food stamp, but it doesn't specifically say where. So what is it cheaper to put it on, like Indeed or one of those, than it is to put it in there?
The language is like published.
Paper, whatever, circulation.
Yeah, in a paper of local circulation, I think is what it says.
I mean, it's like all the legal services. Till the state changes.
It was a mess.
That's crazy.
I found, like you said, I found that
Cindy
Lee website of lightning strikes. I was like, well, that would explain a lot.
Well, it actually turned great.
Yes.
Sizzling. They can hear it at Market Street.
That's our facade grant program.
That's the one.
The facade grant program.
That was one of the
supports. Yes. Yeah, they just replaced their roof.
Who was it?
Joan Ott is her name.
Out on the road. How did she get it?
She was next in line.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I thought we were supposed to do. Oh well. I thought it was more for this area.
They scored. They would have scored the highest, right?
Right.
Yep. But she was next in line after. There was one property that fell out because they moved one on Market Street.
Right.
There was like a top five, and Joan Ott was six.
Oh, okay.
So the state said, yep, go to number six.
Okay. Well, that's good. Who is Cindy Lee? She lives. I've asked her to please answer me, but she had a problem with vehicles.
You ready, Curtis?
Curtis? Yep, ready. Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, well, let's go ahead and call the April 12th, 2022 Town Commissioners meeting to order. Mr. Fields, would you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. First item on the agenda, and just briefly, we all commissioners are present, Commissioner Wood, Commissioner Fields, Commissioner Tano, Commissioner Fockler, and our president of town hall, and Commissioner Elmer is joining us via Zoom this evening. So the first item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes from March 22nd, 2022.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes.
We have actually one discussion. Go ahead.
We have in attendance, Renee.
So we do have one not present. I say not present. Yeah. Sorry.
Okay.
Hey, Curtis, I believe you were
not present
either. So we have a motion by Commissioner Field.
And I'll second.
We have a second by Commissioner Wood. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Minutes are approved. Next on the agenda is the accounts payable review.
I did have two questions that I wasn't sure what the agenda for, but they were answered.
And one question on the facade grant amount to Parkland Plus, but that was answered as part of the facade improvement program.
I was wondering about the small details, but Brian explained that they came in and did some updates behind the scenes to make it easier to upload, right?
Yeah, our website's faster now.
I had a question about the Cecil Tree Service for the removal of the ash tree at Footlog and Conestoga. Did we talk about that? That's a big chunk. It's $4,600.
There were three actual bills on that one.
That's three combined bills.
Yep.
Yeah, it looks like it was one was trimmed.
Yeah, it was two ash trees hazard. One was right in front of. What's the address? It was within our road right of way on Conestoga Street.
Mm-hmm.
The one down here next to the corner.
210 Conestoga. It was right in front of their house.
So there's three. They removed the ash tree at Footlog, 210 Conestoga, and trim the oak down at Town Beach.
Willow Oak was trimmed, that giant one that's down at Sandy Beach.
Right.
And then there was one right where Footlog ends, coming from Bladen onto the creek, just to the right there. There was a dead ash tree that they took down. So that
the one
was
that was trimmed at the beach?
Yeah.
What? Is it that it was dead? Or?
Yeah, it was dead branches. It was really just for the health of that tree.
Okay. Not true.
All right, do we
isn't this something that our guys could have done? On just a trimming of the branches?
No, cut it all the way back to
Brian.
And it's like, that's what I was asking. Is this the one that they cut all the way back? It doesn't look so healthy now.
Which one?
The one down at Sandy. I don't know what you call it anymore.
Yeah, Sandy Beach. There was a giant willow oak tree there. You can't miss it. It's the biggest tree around.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just pruned. Dead branches were pruned. There was no way our guys were going to be able to get up there to do it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And the dead one in front of 210 Conestoga, that was a tall tree.
Mm-hmm.
Again, being so close to the house, we thought a tree expert should do that one.
I guess my question would be, I don't even call talking about them. And then all of a sudden they're done.
Well, I know we've had a discussion on quite a few trees.
Right down here by Market Street and Footlow. We talked about them
as well.
But I don't remember the one at Sandy Beach being talked about or anything. So that's why I have this question.
I can't remember either, other than I believe that probably didn't.
Okay. All right.
This bill for $4,775 to Julia Santana.
Oh, she's our,
Okay, I didn't know, wasn't more of a name, so.
Yeah. And then we get reimbursed from the state.
Mystery solved. I just didn't know who she was. I'm sorry, I apologize for that.
No problem.
I'm going to pay our bills for $6,481.39.
I'll second it.
Second by Commissioner Field. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, next on the agenda is Miller Environmental Life Report. Right, so we'll run down that for the record.
Yep. So total monthly. All right. Just need to mute some of our Zoom friends. So for this year, in the month of March, total monthly water withdrawal was 2,728,000 gallons. Average daily water withdrawal was 88,000 gallons. Minimum daily water withdrawal was 24,000 gallons. And the maximum daily water withdrawal was 155,000 gallons. Some of the routine operation and maintenance tasks completed were the recording of the chemical usage at the tower, equipment runtime, pH calibration, routine checklists, monthly reports to MDE. Samples were collected and sent to the certified lab for testing per state requirements. And then some of the non-routine maintenance, Miller goes ahead and marks all of our missed utility tickets that we receive on a daily basis. So there was 36 of those this month. And they also did their meter readings for the quarter.
Are we back to not using Rev 1 again?
We should be using Well 1.
I don't see any hours on Well 1. I see all the hours are on Well 2. And I mean, it could be a typo, but it seems like it would be a very large typo. Well 1 has no hours for this month. And we have discussed that before.
Yes, exactly.
That we need to keep that well running.
Well, one running.
Right,
yes, exactly.
Yeah. I can certainly
just
ask him.
About that.
Yeah.
Any other questions about the report?
Yeah, other than getting that well, you know, finding out about that well one. That's something we need to definitely look into.
Right. Why no usage in March?
Right.
I guess I have a question, not necessarily about the report, but on the meter installation process, essentially.
Yeah, we're still waiting on 3 meters for parts. They're the 2-inch meters for bigger properties. The parts that we got, they were not interchangeable. There was one piece that we need to swap. We found out that the parts that we had bought 2 years ago were not the right size for the setters when they opened up the crocks. So we went and got the new bigger pieces, but didn't realize that one component, the test port, wasn't going to transfer onto that new bigger piece. So we're waiting on that part, but otherwise the project's done.
So do we know how many meters are left that are on new or wireless?
We have about 700 meters in town. I'll say 550 are radio. And there's still 150 that we need to read by touching it.
But they're still relatively new, so they're not, replacing at this point in time.
Right. I mean, the next oldest meter would be 2009. So they're getting up there. And, you know, you talk to a meter manufacturer, they'll say, 15, 25 years, depending on the manufacturer. So
all the ones that were part of this are pretty.
Yes. Yep, except for those 3 that were just waiting for parts, the 2-inch meters, the big one.
And then the other thing that
I don't know if y'all noticed, but we had the white strobes back on.
I was about to ask that.
And Brian wants to.
Yeah, we the electrician who had installed that beacon light, I guess not that long ago, 2-3 years ago, suggests that the photocell is no longer working. That's why it doesn't know when to convert from a white to red, like dusk and dawn. It did.
It did, and I know that it changed back. Yeah. And then within the past couple of weeks,
it's back to white at night, which is it's supposed to be red at night, white during the day. Okay. So we have that photocell. It was funny that we had ordered the part and then it kind of fixed itself and now it went back to not working, but we have the parts and now we just got to get an electrician to climb up there and replace it. Okay.
So
do we have an idea on how long that might be? Because I know they're going to ask.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of fitting it into that electrician schedule. I hope we have all the parts we need.
As soon as we can.
Right. Yeah. I mean, as soon as we can. Yeah. You know, I don't know if you guys heard, a couple places were struck by lightning last Thursday night, and our flagpole was hit down at Long Point. There's a couple things here. Oh, there's definitely damage, and I'm going to file a claim with our insurance company for it because we're a little worried about the guy wires holding that tall pole, and it's it's not a traditional flagpole. I guess it was a sailboat mast.
It was.
Do you guys remember who installed it by chance?
Get your mic out of here.
Yeah.
Just,
were you down there?
You might want to ask. We have some other issues with water also, but I don't know if you want me to talk about it now or you want to wait until
just
okay. All right.
Actually,
okay.
Let's see. Actually, we'll get to it when we do the
minutes,
okay?
Mm-hmm.
So anything else for Miller, the water report?
Yeah.
All right, next is the sheriff's report. Is Michael.
Mm-hmm.
Here.
Yeah, hang on, let me.
Otherwise, Lou, you can.
Yeah, I'm looking through this.
Mike said he was going to try to attend over Zoom. Let me...
Yeah. And once again, we do not have the sheet.
He said he had staff shortages. Yeah, that's why probably. He couldn't pull it together.
Yeah.
He had some people left.
Yeah, there's no tally sheet here.
He's going to give us that tally sheet, he said, within a week.
Right. Yes.
Beat the drums, Lou.
Yes.
Get that report.
Yep.
Of course, why don't you go ahead and just run down
the
stats?
There's none. There really aren't any. There was officer initiated calls for service. There was 3 warrant service and 2 special assignments. So I don't know. Don't have any overdoses in our town, thankfully. I mean, we are really lucky with that.
Yeah.
We don't have any overdoses. And it's one. And it's like, that don't show up because it was something else. It was listed as something else. Let's see. And that's all they have, especially with this. There's nothing. The following statistics that are based on that. Yeah.
It's nice again that the calls of service
is 0.
Way, well, 20 calls for service, which is on par with last week.
Mm-hmm.
It's
the same.
I was actually hoping that he would be here.
Yeah, me too.
There was, even on the election day, there was a white car that was driving around town, and we were trying to get pictures of it because I've also seen it other times, and the bumper is actually sitting over on Ogle. Near the school, parked over here, and then it would like kind of, they were texting, sitting really low in the car. They were sitting in the middle of the street.
That's a really
good test. Yeah, that one. Okay. So they got rid of that one. And I now have a picture of the new one with the tag number on it. And they also hang out. They drive down and they go down to Tasker Lane and they back in going towards the water, thinking that none of us will see them. So okay.
Do you have the picture with the tag? So you don't see them. Here. Oh, this is the one that, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll give it to him again. I have a couple of things I have to give him, actually.
I appreciate it. I've been called by quite a few people, and I said I will bring it up tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Just when they come in and they do patrols, make sure they shoot down to the wharf.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's summer nights, as water
gets
warmer, it's frequently a late night place.
What?
Down at the wharf.
Mm-hmm.
Cars parking down there at night.
We have a problem with here you go. Thank you. We have a problem with cars backing into Avalon also.
Correct.
Down by the old
down at the wharf at night, are they fishing?
No.
Okay.
No, the ones that are, they pull in like this and they actually park like they're normal. The other ones back in so you can put the tag and then sit there and just basically, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, we talked about it in the past about putting another post on the other side. It does. Running a chain across doesn't mean you can't walk down there, but you wouldn't be able to drive down there. And then the guys would just have to undo it first thing in the morning.
Right.
Is there a sign? Is the park closed after dark?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a sign down there that states that?
At Avalon Lot A, I believe so. Yeah.
But
yeah.
No, is there one? There's not one.
There's not one. At
the wharf.
Not at
not
the
wharf.
Should be there, maybe. No.
Yeah.
Due
to the public funding that we have.
Yes. We're not allowed to close.
Not allowed.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think there's one in
Mexico. Yeah.
They have to be
the night. They can night fish. The only thing
see,
is that we
have any problem with them being down there. It's just it winds up being just a place where people park and then hang out. You're right. They get down there and they drive down there and you'll see a lot of times you'll see many out of state tags and you just figure. You think that they're not behaving themselves.
Yeah, and we can easily do what we did last.
I know some do. That's why
we can. But we can do what we did last year and say if you're not fishing, the park is closed.
You could do that.
And the park is only open for fishing at night. That's it. I'm sorry, you'll have to move along. And then we'll move right on down to Avalon, and then we will tell them to do it.
Yeah, we can say they're closed.
I know, I was like, sorry about that.
All right, any further questions on the police report?
And we did give him, I happened to catch one of the officers in town, and we gave him a couple of the other things that were going on. So they're aware.
All right, Mr. Elmer, you have a maintenance report for us.
Yes, sir. So the guys pick up trash around town like they normally do. The waste pickup, household pickup. They clean the bathrooms, clean out the stormwater pipes after all that rain and stuff we had, all that debris got in there. Completed safety checks on the water tower. Went around cutting grass already. Opened the veteran park bathrooms. Remove ice eaters at the sea dock town pier. Repaired a water leak at Charity Court. Installed ropes at Sandy Beach across where the poles are there to keep, I guess, cars from going in there. Met with Maryland Rural Water to find possible leaks at Cecil and Colonial Street. Regrade parking lot at Avalon Park. Installed 60 radio readers for the water meters. Started cutting trees at the dredge spool site and also moved around some dirt down there too. But that's all I have.
Good.
How are they? We talked about the stormwater drains and so forth. So they're out and getting those. And I know there's They always need to be darn close. Yes. But.
And they know where the hot spot where their frequent flooding concerns.
Right. Yep. And they were bad after all this rain.
Hey, Curtis.
Yes, sir.
Is there any chance that in the next couple of weeks, so the weather's getting a little better, they could get down to Sandy Beach and get some of the debris off down there?
Yeah.
And put them on too?
Yep. And they've done it a couple times. It's just.
I figured as much. But with all that rain.
Yeah. I'll have them down there. I'll see what they can do for next week, but it'll be packed the following day. That's the bad thing. Because I was on it when I started doing this. I was like, why can't we keep our beach clean? But
it's hard. It's with all that rain that comes through that dam, and it washes right up on those beaches.
But I'll get them working on cleaning that up some more.
I appreciate it, bud. Thank you.
I don't know if we took a big log out of the water out there, and we put the maintenance shop. It's a huge branch. We stuck it out there in front of the water tower. It actually looks good sitting there.
You took Loch Ness Monster out of the water?
I had to follow Bob on the tractor, and the back wheels kept bouncing off the ground. I mean, it was that heavy.
Oh, my but God.
You guys should ride down there and just look at it.
I'll just ride down and look at it. How's the skate park coming? Is it completed now?
I looked at it. Yeah, Dan's doing a pretty good job down there. I mean, everybody is. I mean, it looks like he's got a couple odds and ends to do, but it's getting pretty close.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I was just curious about the update on that. I appreciate but
Luke,
it. Okay.
Luke, who knows more about me?
Yeah, yeah. I know. I thought, just get an update from you guys. And
yeah.
I'm glad to see it's, getting a completion there.
Yeah.
The kids will be happy.
The guys don't have the time, like right. Curtis is saying, the guys don't have the time to work on that. So we're relying heavily on Dan and that's volunteers right. to do that whole that's, project.
That's
so,
great. I'm just glad to see it getting done. The weather's going to be nice. We're going to be getting out of school here soon.
They're getting it done. Great. It's like great. Almost done.
Well, I was just curious on that. Yeah. That's all. I appreciate it from both of you guys. Thank you. Thanks, Curtis.
Yep. You're welcome.
Curtis, as the weather continues to warm up and the grass keeps growing, can you just keep on the radar for the maintenance guys, maybe Eric, to make sure the sidewalks, heading out of town, in and out of town, keep on the state roads, keeps trimmed? Because, if we don't do it, it just won't get done. And it always just looks terrible when it grows up.
Yeah.
So, anyways, just keep that on the radar.
Yes, sir.
All right. Anything else? Okay, next item on the agenda is old business, which is a footlong park update for Shoreline.
I'm sharing on the screen here the latest and greatest proposal for the stabilization project right along the sewer line. We've finalized this to the point where hopefully the commissioners are on board with the strategy.
I'm gonna pull that up.
I mean, let me try and zoom in a little bit here.
My readers, I'm like, oh my gosh, I can you read it?
I can read it, I don't have glasses on.
You guys should have it in your packet.
Yeah,
we do. Yeah, we're
even the packet small?
Very.
I'm sorry.
I can read it as long as I can.
So if you remember, the goal with this project was to keep it under 5,000 square feet so that we didn't need a grading permit.
Yeah.
What you see in the middle of that approximate limit of disturbance there, that 3,400 square feet, I believe about 1,000 square feet of that is just turf grass. So it would just be access to dump in the materials there, but there's logs.
Can you just tell me for reference purposes, yeah. where
are we?
Where would the sewer manhole be?
The scan didn't show up very well, but right here, you see my cursor? Uh-huh. That's the manhole.
Okay.
And we got a sewer line coming straight down Baltimore Street here.
I see.
T, right? And then there's the sewer line going along the shore. So that log.
Looking at the one at the end of Tasker. Not yet. This is just this.
That's news to us. What's going on at the end of Tasker?
It's part of the same line.
The sewer line? Okay.
Careful, we may get on that.
We'll check it out.
Okay.
This has been on our radar for some time now. And the solution that we've developed up to this point is to put in a retaining wall made out of logs. That's what that log structure is right in the middle there. It's about 120 feet long from one end to the next.
Like, you know, the log structure.
Yeah. With my cursor? Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. There you go. It's these here.
Right. Okay. That's
fine. Yep. Okay. So up above the logs is fill to grade from the top of the retaining wall to the turf grass. Fill dirt that we intend to plant with some native grasses. And then on the water side of the logs would be river rock to help protect the base of the logs from we know the incoming wave erosion.
Mm-hmm.
So the logs are going to be held in place with different types of anchors, manta ray and duckbill anchors, they're called. And that's what the engineer believes will withstand the wave action. And really the goal, you know, the lifespan of the logs may be 3 to 5 years. The goal is for that vegetation to take hold of the fill up above the logs so that the, you know, kind of the natural condition gets established and then is maintained.
Stabilized.
And stabilized, right.
So the, so down, and what's, what is the, like, what's the dimension like from here, the logs down to here, to the edge of the end of the cobble?
That's about 10 feet. Yep. So really the river stone is supposed to grade up from, you know, one stone till about 2 inches depth to protect the base of the logs.
So a little bit of the reveal of the log will still be seen. It's not like the river, right. The cobble, oh, yeah. Or the river stones won't go all the way to the top of the,
yeah.
Top of the logs, yeah. And then to the turf.
Right. The top of the grade, you know, where the turf, where the fill dirt is going to meet the turf is, it's about 3 feet in some spots. So yeah, you'll see the logs.
So it'll be
from the water.
So we still think there'll be a bit of a ledge there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And again, this is this concept, which was through the engineers on this,
Coastal Resources.
And they've done other shoreline projects as well, similar mm-hmm. to this, and use this application.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And we're excited about it because, you know, we're partnering with the engineer on the design, but our maintenance staff can do the installation. So part of what we were doing today was measuring down there at the beach to figure out how much fill dirt we're going to need, stone and logs.
Do we need an
NDE
permit on this?
Nope. Here, I'll show you the mean high water line. Well, it's less than 5,000, but we're also above the mean high water line.
Oh, okay.
So you see that where my cursor's at there?
Yeah.
That's the mean high water line.
Oh, okay.
So no, we don't need a state permit. That was that's why we had MDE out there a couple of weeks ago, was just to mm-hmm. confirm that with us.
And this will essentially extend all the way that will this. I mean, you can go out there and you can look and see where the erosion is occurring.
Right. You kind of see where the, I call it the mini cliff is, right? The difference between the turf grass and the sandy beach. Antenna is to go that whole stretch. Yep. Okay. 120
feet. 120 feet. Mm-hmm. And again, this is temporary.
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't, I mean, it could last for 10, 15 years.
We want to fill and plants absolutely to last in perpetuity. Right. Yes.
The other thing is, because in the past we tried putting grasses down there mm-hmm. and our landscapers mowed them all over.
That's what I
said. I remember that. I was looking at that. They replanted those grasses.
And they mowed them all over.
Yep. They did.
And took them all out. So
we're going to make sure that the planting is designed in such a way that you know that you're not supposed to mow it.
Okay.
Well,
they're going to get
to
little boats
and work. Well, people generally don't go after the bridge from this area. I mean,
Some of them do.
Yeah, they do. I know people go out there.
But there's you'd still be, and that's something that Ms. Bryant is about. I'm sure that some people, like this cobblestone stone, won't be necessarily the most comfortable to walk across.
Right.
That's what I'm asking.
And the people that live there still can use the boat.
Well, they can will have to walk, kind of walk around it, or I mean, you'd be able to walk over this, right? Yeah. Or well, I guess if you plant the grasses.
Yeah, I mean, what you see on there, where the fill dirt is, especially, and where it's going to be like a garden. So in theory, yeah, you could walk across it, right? But it's not like walking across turf grass.
Correct.
Right.
Right. And the cobblestone, yeah, I mean, it may not be so comfortable to walk on versus sand.
I mean, is there any chance to? Is there any chance to overlay like sand on? I mean, really, it's only coming 10 feet.
I think
now.
The river's going to put sand on top of that rim of stone. I think it will. Yeah. I mean, we know the higher tides that we're getting now. I think the sand will cover up the stone, and it'll probably go up to the logs.
Well, I know when the riprap was put in, Steve, every so many feet, he made sure that there were steps that you could walk down to the water. So, and I think this plan is great because I don't want the shore to go, but I also don't want it that people can't access the boat to go to the beach. So is there a walk?
Can you pull up just the aerial map?
Yeah.
Showing them.
I don't want to mess up with the shore excursion, but I also don't want to mess up with the neighborhood being able to get down.
I used to go down to Northeast Park all the time, and I was so upset when they went with their riprap, and they made it so that you can no longer access the beach anymore.
Yeah, and that was one thing.
I don't want it to be like that either. And I don't think, I mean, it's kind of like when you go down to the wharf,
yeah,
right, that you can go down, and then if you want to walk, you can walk back up the beach, right?
Yes,
even where not, you'll be able to do that.
But
here,
even like I said, on the riprap that's going from Footlog down to Tasker, every so many feet, there are flat stones that are actual steps that go down into the water.
Yeah.
I have the aerial up there. You know, Baltimore Street access for us is very important to get our trucks down there to clean up the debris off of the beach.
Yeah, it is.
And if you guys remember, this is just one phase of the project, right? Sewer line stabilization right here. Okay, we're still hoping we get good news in about a month or so from the state to install a breakwater out here in the river. But another phase is dealing with this stormwater runoff coming off of Baltimore Street and directing it this away.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're certainly considering access. I don't know if this sewer stabilization would really need an access path right
so
through the middle of it.
How far down is that going to come? It will come down to
what?
You can see it from here. How far?
You see the sewer line on there?
It doesn't come down that far. It comes down to, it's going to come down about midway into this.
Here's the manhole.
304, right?
Right, here's the manhole.
Right here.
So really this project, if I could draw it on here, the logs anyway, the middle of the fill is going to be something like that.
So there's still plenty of it. There's
okay.
Still plenty of that.
That's what I was asking. Okay. I don't want to mess up the erosion, but I also don't want it to swing back the other way that people can't.
Yeah, we're interested in protecting our sewer line, but I hear you. We're not trying to take the beach away from people.
Because they took the bushes and trees that were all along there. You couldn't even see the water from their houses. The trees and stuff were bigger than I am tall.
So
people kept taking them out. So we caused the problem.
So I think, does anybody have any questions regarding the plan? I mean, do you like it? Do you want to go with this?
Because
we need to move on.
Yeah,
right?
we do.
I think we should go on tonight.
Do we have an idea of
cost?
We don't.
Like
we don't yet. No. Like I said, we just got the plan the end of last week.
Okay.
We were measuring today. I don't have the material cost just yet.
Okay.
Okay. And the maintenance guys seem fairly certain they are comfortable with the,
yep.
with the process.
I think that's a huge.
Well, it's going to save us more tens of thousands of dollars.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a huge, huge undertaking for those guys.
$50,000
project. Yeah.
Well, absolutely.
More
from a construction standpoint.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, when this starts, are they going to be able to finish it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's.
I hope so.
I mean, Curtis, Curtis, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
How do you feel about this? I mean, the guys are already kind of like pulled, as far as I know, kind of thin.
Yeah, I personally think it's just too much for the guys. But I mean, that's the thing. Are we going to get it finished? So I don't know.
Go ahead, Curtis. I'm sorry.
If we started, I mean, we got to finish it, but I mean, how much time is it going to take us, Brian, you think?
Yeah. You know, the goal is to get the dirt and the stone delivered all at once. We have ideas on how to construct the log retaining wall, but it's not finalized yet. You know, the anchoring, building the wall and anchoring it into the ground is probably going to be the most labor intensive. The rest of it is spread. Mm-hmm. We may need to rent equipment, right? A skid steer so that we can move river rock and fill dirt easier than with the Kubota, right? The Kubota is not equipped to move this amount of dirt quickly. Right. So I think we'd have to rent equipment for it, but you know, so far the guys seem comfortable with it. We'll talk it out. Maybe by the next meeting, we'll come up with a game plan, make sure that they're, you know, 100% on board and that we got costs figured out where we'll get everything from.
The only reason I'm asking that is we're talking about doing the above ground storm drains. They all got pulled from it and it didn't happen. So that's a big concern. If we're going to do all this and it's going to start, but it's not going to finish, but we want to be able to save everything. So is it going to be?
Yeah. Our plan going into this, sorry to cut you off, Curtis, but just it was to do this construction ourselves, right? If we're getting cold feet right when it's time to do it, that's okay. We can look into, you know, construction cost estimates from private companies.
I see. Let's get do the cost analysis for the materials and all, and we can verify with the guys to see. I would imagine they're kind of excited about doing it a little bit.
Bobby
was out there with his transit shooting grades today, he's coming up with a plan. I think they like the idea of it, but I hear you. I mean, it's a valid concern. We react to things that come up all the time on a daily basis, right? Like, oh my gosh, we got to do this. Oh, now we got to do that.
Right.
So I hear you.
But it happens when you have a small staff that sometimes, you know, you get a little overwhelmed. But I do have a suggestion, though, something that the board may consider.
Mm-hmm.
We have a very good mowing contractor who would be willing to take on more mowing for a month or so while we do this project. That's another possibility. Would that be cheaper to have them cut grass for the whole month of, say, May or so, while they did this project? And they would have all three of them to work on?
I tell you what I wanted to proceed with was at least this design down to the Critical Area Commission. We have to do a consistency report before we can apply for a town permit. So I wanted to do that this week, send it off to them, so that May 5th, the next planning and zoning meeting, we have the state's approval and we can get our town permit approved.
Right.
But the construction would be the month of May.
Sure.
Yes.
I agree. It most likely would be a lot cheaper to have our mowing contractor mow and then have our guys dedicated.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be just for that 1 month or so, just having them know everything instead of just the.
I'm just being a devil's advocate. I see it, then it's like start project and then runs away.
But that would give you three guys working on it full time for, you know, other than the pickup, you know, pick up things, you know, at the end of the month. Or even yard waste.
Just two guys staying on it, but one guy.
Yeah, even two guys. You can still put that one guy from now, I guess. Yeah. I mean,
Curtis, do you agree with that? Or how do you feel?
Yeah, I mean, if you can take a little bit of load off them, it's kind of example like, you know, like the skate park. I mean, we they're too busy to finish that. How are we going to take on something like that?
Right.
So that's what I'm saying. Yeah, if we can find somebody to cut the grass, maybe take a little load off the back of them, then they can concentrate and don't leave until they're done.
Right.
You know, but
they are until it's finished.
You know, I think with the skateboard park, it's kind of specialty work. You know, the patching that we got to do requires a welder, right? Which is a little bit out of our wheelhouse.
Yes.
But constructing a wooden retaining wall, spread and fill dirt and some stone, I think we can do that.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, we can do it for sure.
Yeah, I'm just if we have the manpower in the time.
It's just capacity, I understand.
I mean, spreading fill dirt and all that's fine, but the anchor installation and stuff, that's a little tricky. Yeah. That's not exactly an easy job. Yeah. The anchor installation's a little bit harder than just saying, okay, we're going to push some dirt here and we're going to put some rocks here and we're going to put a log here. The anchors are
it's a little technical.
Yeah, a little technical.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It has to be done right or it could collapse.
If it's not done right, here's what's gonna happen. Bye bye. It's gonna float right on down the river.
I agree.
So and there goes your money.
Yeah.
All right. Well let's make a motion and we have agreement on the at least the conceptual design that we can kind of move forward on because Brian still has work left to do on that.
For the permit. Yeah.
Record for that and then
do you want any public comment before any votes?
I think we've already talked about this.
Well yeah that, I think it's not unreasonable. We said we were going to go ahead and do that public comment on
by next meeting next month after the zoning meeting we should be able to have enough stuff. Is that what you're telling me or do you want to do this before the zoning meeting?
I would like to take this concept and present it this design anyway as part of our permit application to the state.
So why don't we just there's a minute comment if anybody from the public wants to comment on the foot log parks erosion stabilization plan before it's going on.
Doesn't Thelma on there?
Well, hold on.
Yep. Thelma, I can see your last name on there. I'll ask you to unmute.
I just unmuted, I believe. Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay. Ursula's with me too. But I guess I'm wondering about a number of things. I think the protection part sounds great, but where we're trying to skimp and save on money, that concerns me with people doing the work that's not what they've been trained to do just to save money. I know you guys said a number of months ago at one of the meetings that the money wasn't an issue. We had COVID money. If the grant doesn't get approved, it's no problem. The town can do it. I just would hate, I love the fact that you're trying to preserve something, but it almost sounds like just get her done cheaply. And that concerns me because I'm thinking then it'll may get forgotten about or it's not what's best environmentally for the public, like the family and the little kids that, you know, I just keep hearing the money factor, and I understand that. But like someone said, this has been going on since I think 2012, 2015. This isn't something new. It might be new to some people that are coming in now, but this is nothing new. And I appreciate the quick attempt, but I'm just concerned. I know I've talked to people from the University of Maryland and the people that do the water storm management for the town of Haverty Grace and the whole area down by the lighthouse. It just seems like we need these stormwater management people backing us up. And I'm not hearing that. I'm just hearing it's about how we cannot spend. But that's all I'm going to say. I think Ursula had a question.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. One of the things that I think you need to think about is, I understand us with Thelma, the dollars. I believe we've got a little bit of money in our coffers. And this plan that you have is probably a great plan, but you also need to think about the water that's coming down Baltimore Street, and what are you going to do with that when it hits the backside of this thing, and where is that going to go? Are you putting drains through, or are you going to do something to handle that? That is why I believe you really need a company that's all they do is riverfront or beach revetment. We missed the boat the last time. We had two long groins that should have gone out, which would probably have prevented a lot of the erosion we're having today. That company did a fantastic job. I know it was a big dollar deal, but I think we need to let our workers do their town work, and let's take this to a professional. And if it costs us some buckos, then it costs us some buckos. Then if the job becomes a problem, or we have a fallback or a failure, you can go to them, because they should have some kind of guarantee or something that would come along with it. They can't guarantee all weather problems, but I'm sure they can guarantee some. And I also understand that they were talking about dumping 10 dump loads, truck loads of dirt along the lane to come into Baltimore, to come down to be handled by the gentleman from town to move that dirt back into the places. This is a whole nother scenario you guys are talking about. You better figure out how to get that dump trucks down there, and whether it comes down Baltimore Street or Tasker, it needs to come Colonial. Down some other way.
Colonial, rather.
But at any rate, I think you need to rethink who's doing the job. I'm not saying that the town workers couldn't do the job, but I'm saying you need to look at the back end of it. And if something doesn't go right, or something isn't done right, or they get called off in an emergency and it sits there, then where are you?
Logistics.
So let's look at the logistics, the guarantees. The top dollar, I can understand, is going to be expensive. And maybe you won't get it done as quickly, but hopefully it will be done well and with some guarantees. That's all I have to say.
I'd like to speak.
All right, Ms. Hahn, go ahead.
Back in November, I guess it was, I've had some family health issues, so I did not attend that meeting, but my brother Ken Chockley did. And I was told that the project was putting out some kind of an island. Then in February, I did attend on a Zoom meeting, and I asked to be sent information on this project. So far, I have zero. I have nothing. And now I'm seeing this about what you want to do with the wood and everything else. I've never heard about this part before. And I'm at 249 Conestoga Street. My mother's at 253. I disagree with Ursula about the groins, because the engineers on that last project said, yeah, we put the groin out, the private property is going to lose. That's not an option. I suggested to that engineer, I said, by curving the rock, isn't that actually a small groin that's going to cause erosion? He assured me it wasn't, but look where your problem is. So I'd like to be kept informed. I'd like to see, I don't understand this project right now. Is this a temporary thing? Where's this island that was supposed to have all these grasses on it? I need information. And, you know, I'm not interested in losing public or private property sand.
Val, just, you know, I apologize. I didn't send you that breakwater plan, because that hasn't changed since last fall. We submitted a grant to design that breakwater. But can you see on your computer screen the map I have in front?
Yes, I see it.
I know I have your email, so I'll email you that plan. That's you know, that's already been finalized, but that's right out here in the river.
That's
rock island with grass.
This is supposed to be a temporary measure to protect the sewer line until that island goes in.
Correct.
Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. So correct. Then what do we care about if, you know, professionals do it or Bobby and the crew do it? It's temporary.
Well, it still costs money. I mean, you know,
I'm saying, you know, get Bobby to do it, save money. Yeah, I'm on the expensive end of the tax bracket over here.
We definitely want to, you know,
my tax bill is a lot higher than the people that have Bladen Street in front of them.
Okay. Well, anything else, Ms. Ahn?
That's it for right now. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Val.
Let's see if anybody else has comments. Anyone else on the list here? I can go down the list and call your name. Deborah? Deborah, do you have anything to say about footlong?
Yeah, that's right. Can you hear us?
Yep, we can hear you.
Okay, great. Yeah, this is Scott and Deborah McMahon. We live across the street on Overlook Parking Lot B, which has become kind of a beehive of activity, some of it dangerous on the weekends. One thing that's
Sorry, Mr. McMahon, this is just a topic of Footlog Park at the moment. We'll have public comment later.
I'm terribly sorry.
No problem. I'm just going through the list here.
Quickly make a suggestion, though?
Sure.
There was a road hazard barrel next to the park, the telephone pole there as you're coming out of the parking lot. Somehow that got removed, and every single weekend people hit that telephone pole with their trailers every weekend. So we need to get that barrel put back out. Thank you.
Anyone else on the call here would like to speak on the footlog park design?
Go ahead. Can you hear me? This is Ursula.
Hey, Ursula.
I have a question. This work that you're doing with the wall and the rocks and the dirt is temporary. You're going to remove that once you put the groin out there, or the state does?
No. When we say temporary, I like using the word interim solution, because figure the logs are not going to last forever, right?
Correct. But
we certainly hope that the fill above the logs and the plants that are going to grow roots into that fill are going to last forever.
So it's more just like a stabilization of the area, because right now it's, you know, obviously it's continuing to deteriorate, and doing nothing is not acceptable. So we have a bigger plan, obviously, in mind that we've solicited grants for. But this is an opportunity to, again, stabilize the area, for years to come. And hopefully it will, you know, it should be longer than years, you know, ideally. But we don't have that crystal ball. But it gets us to a place where we don't have to worry about the sewer line collapsing or being further eroded, and gives us time for the major plan to come into fruition.
Right, because just to repeat, you know, the breakwater out there in the river, we just applied for grant funds to design it, which could take 6 months to design if we're awarded that money starting July 1 of this summer. To construct it, it'll take, you know, another 6 to 9 months. So
what is that break front length? Do we know how long it is?
Sorry, what
how
length?
Long is the break front? How wide is the break front?
You're we talking know that? About the...
Oh, the breakwater in the river?
The breakwater front, yes.
Yeah. I believe it's 60 feet long, if I remember right. But Ursula, I can share with you the plan.
Okay, all right. That's fine. Well, again, I go back. I still think we need professional people to do whatever you're doing as far as the wood is concerned and the stones. If you depending on what happens with the state, we may be a good while getting through with them. So we need something that's going to be done and done well. Not that you guys wouldn't do it well, but they have other work to do in the town, and I think it'd be a good idea to get some bids out.
Thank you, Ursula. Appreciate
you're welcome.
Appreciate it. Okay. So Ms. Bryant, did you have
one photo?
Yes.
No.
Okay. Anybody else? You don't see anybody else. All right.
Nobody else.
We've heard the public comment, commissioners. Any further discussion?
I just wanted to say, doesn't cost us anything to get a bid, does it? I mean, they're usually. I mean, just something. Get three bids and see what it looks like. See what the
We just need to know the cost.
And well, first, we need to know if everybody, I mean, there were valid points brought up on you know, over the Zoom and so forth. And this, is it a perfect plan and design? Ideally, you know, we would have something that was going to be permanent forever. But, you know, so no, I don't think it is an absolutely perfect, but is it? And, you know, something that's one, affordable, I know some people may not like that word, something that we can do, something we can do relatively quickly, something I think that will last for some years to come and stabilize the current situation until we work out the final plan. So anyway, the question is, does this board want to get forward with this design, or do we want to scrap it and start over with another one? Brian shudders on that one, and that's why I was asking Brian initially whether or not, you know, the folks that have helped us with this concept, have they done other similar projects like this on shoreline restoration? And so, yes, this is a concept that's been utilized in the past and has had success. So, and it, you know, it may work for us for the time being. So.
I really can't make it a good educated without knowing the cost.
I agree with that. With the cost aspect.
See what the cost of materials are going to be. See what it's going to cost.
One nice question. Does it cost us anything to put the conceptual plan to where you need it to be?
No. Now, this concept, assuming we're comfortable with it, not knowing the cost of it, is ready to go to apply for a permit.
And that's what he's, there's no point in applying for a permit on this if it doesn't have our blessings for it.
If we're going to change
it. Doesn't even mean that we're really necessarily going forward with the project, but it just allows for the permit, because
right.
That all takes the extra money.
Right.
And so every time we sit back away, there goes another month and another month and another month.
And even though we don't know the cost of it, we went started and then we can amend it.
We can always.
Oh, as far as permit review, you talking?
Yeah.
I don't know if the design would change all that much pending, you know, talking about it some more, the cost of materials and with our maintenance staff, their confidence in constructing it the way the engineers designed it. I really don't believe it would change all that much.
So the main hang up right now is the fact that we don't know how much it is and if the guys really can do it.
But that
concept of the plan, are we in agreement with the concept?
Right.
I don't have a problem with the concept. But I would like to see the cost.
I think by the next meeting and maybe before, I'll send an email out to y'all. Costs that we receive and, you know, confidence of our maintenance staff implementing.
I don't want to keep this not moving forward.
Maybe here in 2 months.
I motion to agree on the concept so that we can at least get the permits that we need to rolling forward. We can always amend it or we can whatever. So I motion to approve the concept.
There's a second.
I'll second it. Let's do this.
There's a second. We have a motion to approve the concept to allow the permitting process to move forward. Obviously, there'll still be, you know, a subsequent vote as to how the construction would occur. We'll call it to a vote. All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Okay, it looks like the man is supposed to proceed with the concept. And Brian, you'll keep us posted and start to get numbers together.
Yep.
Right? Okay. Very good. Thank you guys for your patience on that. next item on the agenda is the Town Hall RFP.
So before you is a draft of this RFP. very standard language that we use, you know, to cover ourselves in terms of insurance. I guess the highlights really of this is on the third page, the scope of work. We tried to lay everything out there that we were looking for the design of the addition, as well as renovation of this room, as well as the existing post office. I don't know if it's, you know, if I need to run through the bullet points there, but that's the, I guess, the most important part of this. I did use, if you all remember, Richard Mahan's design from 2 years ago. It was that conversation starter about what an addition could look like, you know, the layout of the rooms. I purposely left that out of this RFP because I wasn't trying to, you know, pigeonhole us into one design or not, but I did use under bullet number 4, the square footage that was estimated from those plans, that we were looking for a minimum of 2000 square feet with private meeting space, at least 3 offices, public access and a lobby area. I'm looking at a typo right there. It should include the post office, mm-hmm. right? The new U.S. post office.
Post office and the design of the addition.
Correct. Yeah, that should be in that 2,000 square feet.
And this is just to get the plan started.
Yep.
This is kind of to try to get, you know, people who are architects to put in a bid, and they put in some creative concepts.
Yeah,
in the process.
I see that. I'm just saying this is just to get the architectural drawing.
Correct.
Funding happen.
Right?
Correct. I know that part.
Well, but that's a good point, Carl. Is just about the creative concepts. I mean, I can add that under the scope of work here. Just something along the lines, creative concepts. You know. Maintaining our historical character are encouraged,
right?
But really, not only does this establish design plans, that's one of the bullet points here, design plans and specifications, but it's also to include construction bidding, right? So that we actually have the drawings, everything we need to put out the construction phase of the project, so.
And you think that we're going to have the Charlestown commissioners will further evaluate and award the contract owner before the next town meeting of May 10th?
So I put deadlines in there. Every RFP's got to, you know, you got to respond by this date, right?
Okay.
There's a pre-bid meeting.
That's fine. You can make it that they have to respond by something, but I don't think you need to put us into a timeline.
I could rephrase that last sentence. Commissioners will further evaluate and may award the contract at their next meeting.
I think May 4th is a little early.
Yeah, well, if you go back, and it may be, we could give them some time. April 22nd is the anticipated pre-bid meeting.
April 22nd.
Yep. That's true. And yeah. To have us drawings that we want to approve by May 4th, that may be too soon.
Because you say all addition person must be submitted, right? Okay, received by April 28th at 5 p.m. All proposals received by closing deadline of May 4th, 2022. That's 3 weeks.
Yes, Mr. Engineer, that's too soon, isn't it? Because I'm not behind.
I don't get into architectural stuff, but we always think everything's too quick.
Yeah.
Well, if you're asking my opinion, that's a bid for architectural
design proposal. Yep.
Good answer, Chris.
I think
30 to 45 days.
Yeah.
Give them 30. Good.
Yeah. For them to put everything together and have sexual and everything together, it's not.
Yeah. I mean, there'll be some fact-finding, obviously, at the pre-bid meeting, but, right, if they may need some more time walking around the, you know, what's right. existing.
And the pre-bid meeting is, when is that supposed
to be? April 22nd.
April 22nd, okay. mean, that's fine.
Yeah. That's soon. But yeah, okay.
But also, do we need to include in there that they, you know, giving them the plot of land where they can create this concept? Mm-hmm. That this can be, you know, basically this and also the playground area mm-hmm. incorporated.
Yep. You know, I could make a note at that pre-bid. But that I can, yeah, I can provide, I'll make a note to provide a plot plan at the pre-bid meeting. But, so the next
what else do you need?
Well, so the you know, after the pre-bid meeting, there's always that date to say, if you have any questions, you know, you have to stop asking right. questions and just work on your proposal. That next date, April 28th, may be too soon, right? We could push it out another week or two.
Push it out to May 4th.
Okay. And then give them 30 days.
Yep.
June 4th.
Yep.
Yeah.
I like that better.
Okay.
Two
So anybody,
anything else in under scope of work? The meat and potatoes of the RFP.
Put in there historic character and so forth.
Right. Mm-hmm.
All right. Anything else on that? You guys happy with it?
Yep.
All right. So Brian, you'll kind of rough or make those additions and yep. ship them out around to the
yep.
rest of the board. And I guess for those additions or modifications that Brian's going to make, I guess let's have a motion on it that we agree to submit out the RFP with those modifications. And we'll approve it.
I make a motion to approve the RFP to the conceptual design, architect, engineering design of the future town hall.
Oh, I'll second it.
Give them a motion. Second, all in favor say aye.
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 So we have unanimous on that. Very good. Next item on the agenda is the Arbor Day event.
Yep. So I'm going to share on the screen here Avalon Park, which if y'all remember a permit from last year to construct our gravel parking lots in both Lot A and Lot B, the impervious footprint triggered a landscaping requirement. Mm-hmm. Part of the landscaping requirement is tree planting. And so we thought it'd be kind of fun to, I found us some tree seedlings from the state tree nursery. The 100 trees that we're looking to plant as mitigation for our parking lots would go in this area, we were thinking, so as to not really block parking access. If you guys know Lot B, the land kind of slopes off there. Maybe I can draw topography there. Yeah, it's really, let me sketch where we have slated to plant would be kind of this area.
How many trees do we want to plant?
Now that's not going to hold 100 trees. That's one spot. And then down here, we want to make sure, who knows what'll happen with this old boat ramp in the future, right? But we want to make sure we maintain this lane. But the other planting areas outside of the lane would be in this section. I probably didn't draw that right because we don't want to block the pump station. There's some land in here that we can clear out because it's just herbaceous. And then we were thinking down here, up against the tree line.
Doesn't the county still use that as a right of way to go in?
They use the pump station. That's why I think I misdrew that. You see that 24, that point, that's the address for the pump station. So we're definitely not going to block access to the pump station.
Okay.
But those were the three spots. You know, one, two, and three.
Because now that the gate is open, it's tough, right? Mm-hmm. They can go that way instead of going down around the water now, right?
Yep.
That's quite a drawing, Brian.
Yeah, sorry. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to turn off all the line work. But those are the three proposed planting areas that we had on our permit. If there, and that's fine, we can talk about it. You know, if there's any concerns about these three locations, let's try to hammer it out. We got to fit it on the site somewhere. And I can tell you, after digging in Avalon Lot A, we don't want to plant any more trees down here because it's like all gravel. There's no soil.
No, that was horrible. That was like using a jackhammer.
Where are these 100 trees going to be if they're not on A?
At Lot B. Those three spots there on Lot B that I have drawn is what's proposed right now.
I wouldn't mind planting some along Louisa.
Yes, where we talked about, we wanted to block that off so the trucks and stuff didn't drive across that.
Right, and we could still do that. There's nothing that says we can't.
But we have to plant these trees.
We do. And
why?
Well,
it's
mitigation for the parking lots we built.
And do they all have to be at Avalon?
There's room for them at Avalon, so yes, they all have to be at Avalon.
Okay, well, because there's room,
Asking, can some be able to do athletic field?
Right. Can we move some anyplace else?
Or are we locked in because of the permit? We applied with it at Avalon, I'm sure.
We did, and we got a consistency report approved by the Critterbury Commission that said, you've done a good job, Charlestown, putting all your mitigation on site. Now, we could go back to them, right, if we're getting cold feet about where we're going to fit these trees.
I don't like them going up across by the pumping station and stuff and blocking off down by the old wharf and everything.
That's my concern, because if we turn that into a boat launch, we're going to need area for trucks or vehicles to get around.
I tell you, we may be able to squeeze them all into these two spots.
That's what I was thinking.
You know, right here along the tree line and then right here along the Wiza. Up here. Yeah. You're talking?
The ghost.
Along the back side.
Oh, back here?
Yeah. Along the fence line.
Sure. Yeah. Sounds good to me.
We'll do some perimeter line.
do some adjusting.
And we have, you know, on the hill coming down from the house, that stuff needs to just be gone.
I know.
It's horrible. And we could put some there.
Some here. I'll draw it where I think you're talking, right in here.
Yes.
What's all this cost?
That they're free.
Well, no, the tree seedlings.
The tree seedlings. The tree seedlings. I'll let him talk.
I'll have to get the bill. I don't remember it off the top of my head. But it was like 30 cents a tree when you get buy them in bulk. So I think it's like $300 for these 100 tree seedlings.
And we're
planting them with kids from fifth grade.
Yeah.
When's Arbor Day?
Arbor Day is Friday, April 29th.
Right.
And did you know, though, that the following weekend was Earth Day? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
But I wanted to float this past the commissioners. At least for your consideration, could the town of Charlestown become what's called a Tree City USA?
No.
And let me explain what that means. There's four requirements that we have, which I think we meet the budget, for tree care, pruning, removal, and planting. All that's lumped into one, right? Do we spend at least $2 per capita on tree care? And that's a tough one to meet. I can tell you when we looked into it at Cecil County, we couldn't meet it. But I think we may. We already have ordinances, a tree care ordinance in place. We have two of them. Forest conservation that we adopted in 1992 and then critical area, which we adopted in 1988. I think those two ordinances qualify, right? If somebody cuts a tree down, like you had a permit, just as an example, Pauline, cut a hazard tree down, you got to plant a new one because that's what our ordinance
says. I already know that, but it's not going to be planted where you
think. You can plant it wherever you want on your property. and then it talks about a tree board or a department. I think our maintenance staff would qualify because we do some of that tree care work. Mm-hmm. But the fourth and final piece is, which I think was kind of fun, is to have an Arbor Day observance, which could be this event, mm-hmm. and to have the commissioner sign a proclamation that we like trees and we like to take care of trees. And,
never ever heard this.
I'll share that with you guys.
What is the whole
Tree City USA?
What's
the organization?
It's Arbor Day.
They're just planting trees.
It's the Arbor Day Foundation based out of Nebraska. Yeah. So I'll pass around all those materials with you and see what you think.
Somebody's interested, we'll put it on the agenda.
Okay, good. Anything else on Arbor Day? Why don't you go ahead and announce real quick the other two events that are coming up.
River Sweep. You know, we're partnering with the Lower Susquehanna Heritage Greenway. There's a bunch of sites between Harford and Cecil County along the Susquehanna River, just cleaning up shorelines. It's an annual shoreline cleanup day. And ours is Saturday, April 23rd, starts at 8:30 a.m. We'll start down there at Long Point and then work towards Sandy Beach and Footlaw.
Sure. And Avalon?
Well, we just had those three on the slate because they're close. Okay. But
we get
I mean, okay. And then the next Saturday, April 30th, is our proposed. Mary had a good idea. Maybe we should call that road sweep. You know, out there along Route 7, SHA will have a truck for us with flashing lights, you know, coming from the creek down there northeast of town to Bladen Street. And maybe if we can make it all the way down the Wise Lane, the other side of Cool Springs.
And that, what's that date?
That is Saturday, April 30th.
And that time is going to start around?
Yeah, I'd say 8:30 or 9 a.m.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Volunteers are appreciated.
Yep, we'll start putting out solicitation emails soon.
It's actually a good community building event. So they're nice. So. And Route 7 always looks a lot better, and beaches look a lot nicer too. So, okay. Anything else on that? Okay. Next on the agenda is Commissioner Capano with Fire Company.
This week, I was talking to Mr. Barrow and Mr. Stanko at the fire department. I think Sparrow is on Zoom. So if I miss something, just chime in.
Yeah, I see him on there.
Okay. I was talking to Brian, and Brian, one of the things he asked me to do is to get a map of where Charlestown District is. All the ones that have 500-ish on it, that's where the district is for our fire department. So it's not just here in the center of town. It does go the whole way out, so you can see the different areas. There is a misconception when they talk about Charlestown Fire Department. People think it should only be right here in the middle of town. It's a community fire department. Basically, the county is split up into sections. This is where Charlestown section is. I grew up in Southern Lancaster County in Bart Township. So the fire companies were a big thing up there, and the communities and the fire departments worked together. I moved here 20-some years ago. I don't see it as much, and I'm trying to make it that fire department and the town hall, we work together more and we work things out that basically we work together. Last year, I know we got money from COVID. The town gave $50,000. I'm thinking that was $30,000 above the $20,000, correct?
No.
Let me finish. Okay. Our county executive has told the fire department to come forward and ask for 10% of this money. Our fire department is, because of growth of more people moving to this area, an example, they had 125 ambulance calls just in the month of January, and they had 85 fire calls. I also wanted to show you, their budget they've had for the past 2 years. And this, people are looking at the fact that they're not raising money. They can't meet their budget and all that. And we're supplementing. It's not the case. If you want to pass that around, if you can see the month or the fiscal year of 2021, yeah, it has increased substantially from what it was the year prior to that. They are now in the process of getting a youth ambulance to help out with what the calls are. It's going to be $90,000. The ALS equipment is going to be another $20,000. They, between all their expenses, and that's not even to equip it. To equip it, and here's a picture of the ambulance that they're going to be getting. They have to wait for that fire company's new ambulance to come before they get the new. So to equip it, just to put things in it, it's going to be another $7,260. To get the gurney, the step-up gurney, that they don't have to lift. It's automatically lifting up. That's another $20,000. And everything else that goes with it, so it comes up to $24,000. Every year they get turned, or every five, they're trying to replace five sets of turnout gear a year, so they don't have to do it all at one time. That costs $3,900 for each one, so that's $19,500. They're also looking for the status of the tax credits for the firefighters. Brian, do you know where that is?
Tax credits for the firefighters? That one doesn't ring a bell.
It happens every year.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Yes, I saw that.
Okay, is that
the letter we got?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That goes out every year.
Yep. We received it.
Okay.
Yep.
To each of the firefighters, a check is written out. Okay. The dredging of a fireboat, I know there's a grant and they know that. But they want everybody to know that when they're this low tide, their boat sits in the bottom. They're having trouble even getting out now.
Yeah.
Which is pretty substantial, since they not only do boats, but they also do waterfront properties that are catching on fire that they can help with that fire out. The impact on the company, we have an aging population. Between that, the drug overdoses, and more people that are moving in here to support our fire department. I'm looking on top of the $20,000 that we that we normally do, is to give them the extra $70,000 so that we do give them 10% of what we're doing. Jason, did I miss anything? I'm thinking I have pulled up, said everything.
No, you've hit all the topics.
Okay. I just want to bring this up to discussion because we are working through the budget, and I just want to make sure that we are, that it's out there. I know that I brought it up, but I want to bring it up that it's more.
So you're saying the $20,000 and then $50,000 out of the cookie, make it $70,000 even. Is that correct?
No.
No, you what?
70 plus the 20 that we normally do.
Okay.
Are you going to do a motion, or do you want me to make a motion on doing this, helping the firehouse out?
If you would like to do the motion, that would be great.
Yep, I'd say I want to do a motion to help the firehouse out for additional.
Let's have Curtis, before you get into that, let's have some discussion on this real quick.
All right. We can have discussion, but that's going to take a lot of time. Let's just do it. I mean, it's our firehouse. We can sit here and argue all night long. Let's just see what happens. Let's take a motion. Everybody knows about the money, and we do need work around the town and stuff. But let's just see how this planes out, and let's just help out. You know, help the firehouse. It's not just helping the firehouse; you're helping your community.
How about public comment on that one also?
It's fine. Yeah, absolutely. We can certainly do that. So I understand you made a motion, Curtis. Just for discussion purposes, and I just want to clarify that we had the town had previously, of course, been donating annually, I believe, $15,000 mm-hmm. to the fire company and supporting the fire company. And when COVID came along, we bumped that up to $20,000, which we've been doing for the last probably 2-3 years since mm-hmm. 2020, I guess. And so they have been getting 20 now. When the COVID monies did come out last spring, I believe this board voted to give them an additional $50,000 mm-hmm. last spring. So we've given them $50,000. Now, I guess we're receiving, how much are we receiving from the COVID monies?
$1 million total.
$1 million. And we're also still planning on giving them $20,000 that we give annually anyway. Just one thing. And, you know, we all certainly support the fire company and you know, because it does serve the community and it is part of, you know, it's an essential part of our community. I do want to say, though, that you know, that the town, and I think that we've been, you know, we've been generous, and I'm not opposed to, you know, going along with whatever this board decides to do. But at the same time, I do want to say this town is in dire, dire need of some substantial infrastructure, and that you know 10% is a lot of money, and we basically have starved ourselves from infrastructure projects for many, many terms. And I just want us to be, you know, I just, and I know the stresses that are on the fire company, because the fire company is, you know, all the warehouses have been built across the way. And I understand that, you know, they have 100 plus of those calls, or probably more than that, are across the way. And I'm not saying that I don't want the fire company to support those areas as well, but, you know, it's not Charlestown. I mean, I know it's our fire company, right? Mm-hmm. And yes, there's probably never enough public or service equipment and so forth. So I think the town has been really generous with and supportive of the fire company. I think that, we give them the $20,000, then whatever else this board decides to give them above that, I don't think it should be more than 50. That's, it shouldn't be more than 10%. And I don't know where that 10% number comes from. I mean, but 10%.
The
county executive, exactly. And that's the county. Let me finish. But we're our own board, and we make our own decisions. And you know, all respect to the county executive, this is a decision for the town to make in consideration of the obligations and duties we have to this community. We've got roads and issues over in Cool Springs and Trinity Woods that need to be tended to. There's tons of stormwater management issues, shoreline erosion, dredging. I mean, you can go down the list of things that we need to do here in this town. Mm-hmm. And this money is for the people of this community. And I'm not saying that the fire company is not part of that community, but we are supporting the fire company. So I'd also hope that, you know, if we do give additional monies to the fire company, also that the fire company, you know, there could be, you know, works with us in regards to, like, for example, utilizing the fire
the fire hall and so forth, things of that nature, and that we do work together. So I just, I'm a bit of a miser when it comes to money, and I think that it's really important that we have so many infrastructure projects here that we utilize those for our community, and yet we still support our fire company. So that's what I have to say.
How much are you asking for?
Who's talking?
Curtis. I was asking him.
Go ahead, well, Curtis.
All I'm saying is, for this, the infrastructure's been a problem since day one. Why hasn't anybody been on board of fixing this many years ago? Why is everybody concerned about it right this minute? Why haven't we been taking money that we do get for grants and put towards that and get this stuff fixed? Why are we using that for an excuse why we can't give the firehouse some money? That $70,000 they're asking for or whatever it is that going to fix our no, it's not going to fix anything. It's 70 grand. Yeah, it's going to help us a little bit, but what about the $1 million we're getting? We shouldn't even, if you're supporting the firehouse, we shouldn't even be having this discussion. I understand you're about the money, but we've wasted money. Not me personally. The town has wasted many of thousands of dollars on nonsense that was told that it would never work from the beginning, but we went ahead and did that anyways. Nobody said anything about using that money for stuff that we need for here. It was about stuff that, a commissioner or somebody thought would be good for them or our community. But we didn't talk about infrastructure then when we spent thousands and thousands of dollars on, like I said, nonsense. I don't even think we should have this discussion anymore. I think I want to, I'm going to do the motion. If nobody else is on board, then we'll drop it. But I'm going to make a motion that we give the firehouse what they need.
Who is we?
What do you mean we?
Oh, no, we're not in public comment yet.
Apologies.
Curtis, does any other commissioners want to comment? I mean, we still don't really have Curtis's full motion yet.
Oh, no, we can just.
They're asking for 10%. Wouldn't that be 50,000 last year and 50,000 this year?
But the 50,000 they got, the 20,000, that's 20,000 plus 30,000.
That's where I'm confused.
So
it was 50,000 total.
So it was 30,000 in COVID money and 20,000 in
town tax money.
Or was it 20,000 in town tax money at 50,000 in?
It was 50,000 total. Mm-hmm. And that
so
would have
30 and 20.
Yeah, and we. I mean, it's up to us how we document it, right? From an accounting perspective. From COVID funds or
general budget. 50,000 and 20,000. But that's wrong. It was those 50,000.
It was 50,000 total.
It was 50 and 20.
Okay. So it was all together.
It was 50 and 20.
50 and 20?
No, it was 30 and 20.
I'm pretty sure it was 30 and
20. Yeah. That's
what I thought it was.
50,000 total. Okay. So that wouldn't be 10%. That would make it 70,000 this year to make it 10%.
Right.
I just wanted to quiz out.
70,000 plus.
Okay. So they have 50. So are you asking just for 50?
No, she wants 70.
No, because they got 50. They got 50,000, which would have been 30,000 and 20 that we normally.
Well, I think we're splitting hairs on that. They got 50,000. And then 50 more thousand would be 10%. That would be $100,000.
They basically, from my understanding, they want 20,000 plus another 70. So now that they want 90 is what they're asking.
Yes. 20 from the budget and 70 from the COVID.
Care.
Oh, that's a chunk.
It would be different if we were taking that out of our account and taking away from the people of Charlestown. But it's a grant. It's really to help out the town of Charlestown, but it's also to help out, it's not for the firehouse, but that's what we should step up and help out. I mean, when the ambulance are called for someone for their family around here and it doesn't make it there to get your family, you're wondering why Charlestown can't make it there because they're on a previous call and they only have one ambulance. It's not that it's just benefiting the firehouse. It's benefiting the people of Charlestown. It's not like it's going to hurt the town of Charlestown. The money's not really coming from the town of Charlestown. It's a grant. It's not even really our money anyways.
Well, that's not correct, Curtis.
It is to a certain degree how you look at it.
It's not correct.
You spend money the way that some people do for nonsense. That's all right. But when this ain't nonsense, this is people's lives and stuff. You know, nobody cares until it's emergency for their family. And then they're complaining. What is wrong with Charlestown? They're not coming fast enough. Well, they don't have the ambulance to get out there to get you. So you got to wait until the next.
So what's going to be done with this money if the board votes to approve it?
Yeah. It's going to help with the purchase the new ambulance and get supplies. And I want to tell you from experience.
Yeah.
Okay. When my mother went into the hospital in October, Charlestown was on call. They didn't come. Perryville came. They didn't have the second ambulance. They had the man coverage, but they couldn't get there because. And that's Charlestown. And the ambulance was on another call in Charlestown. So you're splitting hairs on that.
Yeah, and I'm not wanting to take away from anybody in the residents of Charlestown. If I thought it was going to do harm to the people of Charlestown, I would say absolutely not. We can't help them. But, you know, if you guys sit there and look at, I don't know what our finances are, but I know for sure this little bit of money is going to break the town of Charlestown. So, I this is my opinion. I'm not saying you guys got to agree, but it's, one day you might need an emergency, and then we're going to be yelling, why aren't these people coming? Well, that's why. You know, an ambulance is very important. It is, especially for your loved ones. And I'm not saying for my family. I'm saying for your family, too. You know, anybody in Charlestown, elderly.
I have a question for Mr. Barra, and if you know the answer, is there any plan for, like, a part-time, like, paramedic anytime in the near future, or has that been discussed for the fire company?
Can you hear me, Carl?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
I mean, it's been discussed, but the money there is, it's just the cost is so much to get one paramedic in. We just can't afford it. It's not feasible for us to staff it as a paid department. It's just we can't do it. I mean, by the time you do their salary, their workman's comp, their insurance, I mean, it's just, it's not feasible.
What would a part-time paramedic run? And I'm talking, when I say part-time, I'm talking like, you know, late night. If you know, when people, you know, if a call comes at 2 a.m, you know, because obviously every minute counts. Do you know?
If you had to do a part-time, it's a minimum of $100,000 a year, minimum, at least.
I'd love to see that.
That's just a ballpark. That's just off the top of my head, but I know at least be a minimum of $100,000 a year, at least.
I believe it.
For a part-time. That's not, you know, that's two days a week, or, you know, a Friday, Saturday.
Okay.
Hey, Jason, is there a way that you can explain why ambulance is so important, a second
Curtis,
one to have.
Curtis, we all agree that ambulances are super, super important. And I understand that they're split between that side of Route 40 and this side of Route 40. So if they're on a call over there, you're right. There's no way they're going to be here. I think most of us understand that.
It's getting very busy. I mean, it's just getting worse. I mean, it's not like
have you received any funds or monies from the warehouses or Crossway or Amazon or any of those outfits, Jason?
Have we received any from Amazon itself?
Yeah. Have you solicited from any of the big companies across the way?
We solicited letters every year, twice a year from them.
Have they participated?
They have not participated themselves. No, not Amazon. You know.
How about, okay, any of those large corporations though?
We get through Smithfield. They help us out very, very little. GE does very little.
So they really don't, right?
I mean, it's not tremendous.
You are,
tremendous amount.
Jason, when you get called to Amazon, that depending on what it is, their insurance is picking it up, correct?
No.
Some do, some don't.
We talked about that at the meeting with McCarthy. When we had, tell me if it's changed, but I remember when McCarthy was here, you guys told us about when you go out there and pick somebody up, they're laughing and giggling and everything in the ambulance because it's the rest of the day off and it's an ambulance run for you guys, but they have to go because they make them go and then they're not paying.
Yes, and they still get a bill. We got an ambulance billing company that still bills.
Right.
Bills out every
they're still not paying, transport. Right? Which is another big thing.
One ambulance out of service. That's
right. Remember
and,
that.
And that's what kind of irritates me a little bit. Yes. Is that it is a community, Charlestown, that was originally established to really serve this particular area. But since the county and so forth has built all the expansion and growth on the other side of Route 40, it's pulling these resources here in this town. And now they're coming to the town to shoulder a lot of that additional expense. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that we're not there to participate and to help out because we do support the fire company, but I'm just saying that it kind of grinds a little bit.
Too. It's not just.
Agreed. Yeah. I'm with you. I'm with you.
The town has doubled in size.
Yeah,
because of cool spots.
But they should have
still have one ambulance though.
Yeah, they should have to handle some of that. Yeah. Amazon, Smithfield, all those guys out there. They should be helping these folks out also. We could give them $100,000 and they should match. They should match whatever we give them. You know, they're out there just as much as they are in town. Heck, half the time they're out there more than they are in town.
All right.
So that's how I feel about those guys.
There's going to be a motion that's made, but let's hear a public comment before we finalize on the motion. Go ahead.
iPhone, do you have any comments on the fire department discussion? How about Thelma McMullen?
Yes, we have public comment on the firehouse. Is that okay?
Yes.
I agree about backing your community firehouse. Gary Bott specifically really bailed me out one time when I had flooding, but that was more on a personal. He just did it on his own. But I hear a lot of, I know people that work in other volunteer fire companies, and I believe in we should help, and we are, but I also believe they need to step up. I don't believe that they should start depending more and more and more on Charlestown. When I grew up, there was a women's auxiliary. They did firehouse dinners. They did bake sales. They did a lot of things. And I'm going to bring up Hacks Point Fire Company because it's a small town fire company. They actually told me Charlestown never shows up to their annual thing that all these other fire companies show up for. It's the Oktoberfest. They don't make a presence. They don't engage. Nothing. So I'm just saying, I don't get it. We should help them. Yes. And I think the town's helping them. But I think if they did more community things, they would get more community support with donations. But they shouldn't be dependent on the town to do what they need to do. And Hex Point, for instance, I'm just saying, because I know it's a small town volunteer fire company, the paramedics are volunteers from the community. So yes, we should help, and I believe we are, but I don't think it should turn into a welfare thing. Thank you for letting me speak.
Thank you.
Val Hahn, do you have anything to add?
Yes. I guess in my situation, we do have some family health issues. So I'm all in favor of a second ambulance. But I concur with Thelma that it shouldn't be all on the residents of Charlestown when you have the big warehouses and Amazon. I don't know if it should be the county executive or whoever's making Charlestown take these big warehouses should be hitting them up saying, yeah, here you go. Here's your bill. Pass it on to Jeff Bezos. I think more has to be done to get more out of the big business. This is ridiculous. That
yes, like community service for those big businesses.
And some cold hard cash donation to the fire company. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Mary, do you have any comment? Hey, it's kind of hard to hear you. I think you got something wrong with your mic on your end.
Can you hear me now?
Nope.
Nope. Never mind.
All right. We'll come back to you. How about phone number 443-309-1553? I'm asking you to unmute. Press star six.
Brian.
Go ahead. Yeah.
It's Robin Rowe. I am all in favor of supporting the fire department, but I had a thought. What about if we did something like Northeast Fire Department does with Fill the Boot, where they actually go out up to Northeast Plaza and they have their boots and people put money in the boots and fill them? Mm-hmm. What if we did that as a fundraiser?
I'd go to a pancake breakfast.
Mm-hmm. Spaghetti dinner.
Yep. I would volunteer to flip the pancakes.
Spaghetti dinners. There's lots of things.
And then we used to do at the fire department the soup and subs. And Rosie made mm-hmm. the most delicious soup. We could mm-hmm. do that again.
Mm-hmm. And that's part of the community aspect. But they really need, they do. They need big money. You know, they do need big money. They have big expenses. But that,
would
I agree.
You be,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Carl, would you, in your position, would you be able to discreetly find out what Northeast actually gathers at a Fill the Boot? Because they're there all weekend, and it'll be coming up soon. And I know people participate in that through the community, going into Food Line and Lowe's. They're up there. Would you be able to find out?
Robin, I can ask my son. I can ask my son if you let me know.
Because it's really successful. They take the fire engine up there for the kids. It's an all-day event.
Yeah.
It's just a thought I'm throwing out. But I'm for supporting the fire department however we can.
I agree with you. And it's just like what Hacks Point does, you know? They gather the people. They have events. It's like, you know,
Bob and I have been to Hacks Point. We've been to the Hacks Point events, and they're amazing, the turnout they have. So,
okay.
It's a thought. Yep. Just throw.
And we'll go to we'll go to the last phone number on the list here. 443-553-6188. You have any comment?
Hey, how you doing? Hey, how you doing? Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you just fine.
It's good. I'd agree with funding the fire department, but I kind of like the idea of some reciprocation there. You know, when the fire hall needs to be used, you know, it's kind of a give or take kind of thing, you know, like we'll help you, you help us kind of thing. I think that's a good way to look at it. You know, it's basically a partnership at this point. You know, if the town's giving Mark? The fire money, that
Trey,
can you hear me?
Hey, is this Trey? I'm sorry, I didn't get your name.
Yeah, this is Trey. I'm sorry.
All right, sorry about that.
Sorry about that. Yeah, I kind of see it as a little bit of a partnership. You know, like, you know, when the town needs the meeting space for you know, to have some like town meetings and things like that. I think if the town's giving the fire department a bunch of money, then, you know, there ought to be a little bit of sharing there, because it's basically a partnership. And, you know, the town needs the fire company a lot, you know, so it's very important to be able to support the fire department as well. You know, as far as the ideas for fundraisers, there's a million ideas for fundraisers, and nobody's ever going to reach the end of that idea. But like Carl said, like it's a big nut to crack, and they need some big money to replace some pretty expensive equipment. And we as a town probably need to help them as much as we possibly can. But at the same time, you know, there needs to be a little bit of give and take there. So I'd say I'm on board with supporting them. But again, the meeting hall right there, that's a perfect thing that can be done, you know, I'm not going to say as a trade, but, you know, each hand washes the other kind of thing. So.
Thank you, Trey.
Hang on. I had just a note in the chat there, because we had Mary had mic issues. She just says, I would love to help the fire company, and I think fundraisers would be a great way to help, because they are part of our community and we should be appreciative.
Now, I will say part of their donations that they received, I mean, they received $50,000 from the town last year, and they also did another $13,940. On top of that, now some of their income is through hall rental, but due to COVID, that didn't happen as much in the past. So,
can I see how much?
I'm sorry.
Hall rental the year before, I think it was very minimal.
Okay. Now I will say, because of cooking and stuff, our fire company can't do a lot of that because of the way your kitchen is, and it's not certified through the health department. Is that correct, Jason?
It's a brand new fire company. How many dollars did they spend?
Okay. Jason?
Are you there?
Yeah. Yes,
yeah, we're not set up. We're not set up to do, like, it has to be through the health department. It's like more or less like a catering kitchen.
Mm-hmm. So how do the other fire companies do it?
The other fire companies have bigger halls. They have commercial kitchens. You know, we don't have that. We don't have commercial kitchen. We just have, you know, stove and sinks in there and a refrigerator. We don't have a commercial kitchen. You know, the other thing is, I just want to touch base on, you know, we're running 300 and some calls plus a year, and we're doing it with 8 or 10 people that runs all them calls.
We don't doubt that.
All the calls. I mean, we don't have all the excess time for the fundraising, because we're too busy running calls. That the ones that are active members, we may have 40 sets a year there, but there's 10 or 12 active members that run that whole department. We, you know, we're very busy. We have dropped two calls out of this year. We've only scratched on two calls out of the 200 and some calls that we've had this year. With the 10 or 12 people that we have running the whole department.
We're not doubting that.
Hey, Thelma, please wait until we call on you, please.
Yes.
Sorry.
All right. Is there any more public comments that you see? Is Brian?
Yes.
On the fire company?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think you should put support to fire company. They need the money. The county said, they sent them a letter and said that you are supposed to give them 90% of what you take in.
90%?
Wow. 10%.
That was their recommendation.
And they didn't get that either.
Okay.
Thelma, did you have Ursula with you? Did she want to have comment? Or?
Yes. Yes, yeah. I do. Yes, if you don't mind. One last link on the subject. This takes me back in time. It seems to me I've been here 20, 21 years, and I know I'm getting old, but one of the first meetings I ever attended at Charlestown was a discussion regarding giving money to the fire department. And I think I got myself in a real deep hole because I said, why isn't the fire department doing something to earn its own money, such as chicken fries, breakfast foods? Boaters come into town and would love to stop and pick up a box lunch or breakfast to go to the boat. It's the weekend traffic has got to be unbelievable here in the summertime. I understand your kitchen is small, but you could do a lot of things outside. I'm repeating myself from 20 some years ago, and I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Well, I think the good thing is that most people in town, I think everybody supports the fire company, and everybody sounds like everybody's eager to help out the fire company. So maybe there's some potential there for some future volunteers. So anyway, let's finalize this.
Well, can I make one last comment? It sounds like, it's Val Hahn.
Yes,
what I'm hearing is a lot of people are saying, yeah, we would love to support you and come and eat your chicken. But what I'm hearing Jason say is we're out running all these calls with a skeleton crew. So
right.
I used to work on the Riverfest committee, and it was just a handful of volunteers carrying that whole thing. So, it's all well and good, but getting the actual volunteers is not easy.
That's correct. Thank you.
They've made it very hard. The EMT status and stuff.
Okay. All right.
Curtis, did you want to finish your motion?
Yes, I want to make a motion that we help the firehouse out with the 10%. I believe that's what the exact number is, right? Does anybody have the exact number? Jason, do you have the exact number?
Well, if we gave him 30 last year, 70 would be a little bit more than 10% because we didn't get quite a million yet.
Right.
It's a little less than a million. Right, Brian? What was the total?
999.
Yeah, so we're pretty close.
It is. Actually, I think it's a little over. It's like 1.1 million.
Okay. Well, if we gave him 30% last year, Curtis, then this year would be 70 out of the COVID and 20 out of the budget. So that would make it 10%.
Let's keep it. We're going to wind up doing the budget. So let's.
Yep.
You're talking about 70,000. Let's just do the COVID monies here.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
So it would be 70,000 in COVID money then. Yes. That would be the amount you need to make a motion for, Curtis. It would be 70,000.
Is that right, Jason? I just want to hear from him before we make a motion and then say, no, that wasn't right.
Yeah, when I spoke to Renee, I don't want to lose the 20 donation that we give. Like last year, I believe that it was broke. They gave the 20 donation, and then they gave the 10% of what we asked for, which would have been 30. So I would like to see the 20 that we get every year, and the remaining of the 10 that we asked for last year. So that'd be 90 total.
So anyway, what this is really discussing the COVID monies as opposed to the budget monies, which is a separate matter. So go ahead to round out your 10% of the COVID monies. Is so
10% of the COVID money would
70,000.
So is that what you're saying, Curtis? You have to put a number there.
Yes, 90,000.
No, 70.
Sorry, 70. I was just listening to what he said. I don't know what I was thinking. Yeah, it's 70. Sorry about that. That was in my head for some reason. I don't know where that came from. Yes, I like the motion that we give the firehouse the 70,000
from the COVID relief fund.
From the COVID relief fund.
I second it. Can I do that even though I was talking about it?
Sure.
Okay, second.
Okay, there's a motion and a second for 70 out of the COVID relief funds to the benefit of the fire hall. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Curtis?
Thank you.
No, you didn't say aye.
I didn't say aye.
Yes, I said aye.
Oh, okay. Aye.
Yeah, I said aye. Sorry.
Unanimously.
Thank you, Jason, for that help.
Yeah, I thank you, guys. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Jason.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for your service, Jason. Okay, let's move on to, well, actually, commissioners, that's the end of the agenda.
No, no, we added water pressure on there.
I'm sorry.
As new business.
Sorry about that. Go ahead.
Okay.
So, Brian, I guess, go ahead, water pressure.
Well, I don't know. I'll leave it up to Commissioner Wood.
Yeah. I was on Facebook and was talking to a gentleman from Cool Springs. And I talked to a couple more from Trinity Woods and everything. And I have the addresses here of everybody. Joanne Giuliani, I'm probably killing her name, Owens, Chris Galtney, Kim Ann Bullock, Kelly Renee, Mary Palmer, Anita Palmer. They all had a problem, Linda Schroyer, in reference to low pressure.
Hmm.
I mean, they're, I want to know what we're going to do about.
Well, can I make a suggestion?
Yeah, sure.
We talked about a relay station over there in Cool Springs, a pumping station that would pump up the pressure until you get a new water tower. That's basically that would be the cheapest way to go. Or not, I don't like to use the word cheapest way.
Right.
But that would be a temporary fix. It would help with water pressure.
That's what I tried to explain to these folks. I said, look, the only thing that's really going to work is a brand new tower.
Exactly. There. That's going to
that's going to be the ultimate fix.
Yes.
Right now, we're going to throw Band-Aids on it.
Yes.
And absolutely. The one gentleman was like, well, you know, why are we doing that when the prices of everything just keeps going up?
Exactly.
Well, and I tried to explain. And when, you know, when you're talking on Facebook, you try to type everything.
Sure.
And it's like, look, I can't. But it's like, so we're going to have to come up with something because we are getting numerous complaints over there. I mean, just numerous complaints.
How many you had?
I had a dozen. Oh, yeah. I have that. And that is only because I stopped. But you know, that's just like,
put more pressure on the system, it's gonna slow down.
So, right. Brian, I know, I guess the one you've had a couple calls on it.
I've had two.
So tell me what we've done or what is our.
And you know, since I am relatively new at operating a water utility, that's my response. We lean on our town engineer and our water system operator, right? And we say, hey, when we get a call about low water pressure, what do we do, right? And we've come up with a protocol, a game plan. We can go out there and test the pressure at a hose bib. At least in Cool Springs case, there were ranges predicted on the original water and sewer plans that needed to be followed, right? For what PSI would be for each lot.
Mm-hmm.
Trinity Woods is a different story.
Yeah, but
Chris, I don't know. Maybe there's a water and sewer development plan. I think for Trinity Woods. I don't know. That hasn't come up yet. But still, before these homes are built, they need to get a use and occupancy permit, which means a county plumbing inspector goes out there and tests that PSI, and they're not going to let anybody move in unless they got adequate pressure, like within that range that was predicted. Now, if something happens to water pressure after somebody moves in, There could be a number of reasons for it, but we have to start by just going out there and testing the pressure, seeing what it's supposed to be, and then troubleshoot from there.
So have we done that on either of those two calls?
No, not yet, but we have them scheduled for Thursday.
So who's going to be conducting the tests?
Our town engineer, myself, and the water system operator.
Okay, well, Miller. I have a whole list here of other places for you to go that day, because these folks are below, I think, what's the PSI it's supposed to be?
The minimum in.
And this is Chris Rogers.
Yeah,
sorry. Speaking. The minimum planned was 40 PSI at the highest elevation in Cool Springs.
Right. And I believe the one guy told me that I was talking to had 20. PSI when it was checked. And he is also relatively new over there. So
George Bryant.
Yes.
Yeah, we have a call into him.
Okay.
And hopefully we'll be able to test his hose bib with a pressure gauge.
Okay, good. And I, like I said, I have these other ones here. I'll give them to you.
Yeah.
And
we probably won't be able to go around to each one because we were also going to do a pressure test on a hydrant.
Okay.
And we're also going to, you know, Mr. Bryan is in phase four,
mm-hmm.
which hasn't been dedicated yet. And
right.
We need to check the valves to make sure they're all open, because you never know what happens during construction.
Right.
You know, somebody could get distracted and not open a valve all the way, or forget to open it all the way, mm-hmm. or forget to open it after testing. So there's some fact finding and troubleshooting that we're going to do. There also may be a difference between what people, you know, where they've moved from and what pressure is available here, you know, by gravity from your tank. So,
because my daughter moved on to Tarpon, which is all the way in the back, it's phase four, it's the final phase. They just moved in not that long ago. And when I stayed there, it was like waiting forever to fill a bathtub. And I was like, okay, somewhere along the line, this thing's going to pick up and it's going to fill for these kids. And I was like, just go take a shower. Yeah, let the water trickle down.
That was the shower pressure.
It was horrible. So it's like, these folks, my heart goes out to them, because I do know that it's nothing that they've done on their own. These homes are new. And the one woman also stated that the water had a foul taste to it and odor. So I don't know where that came from.
You know,
but
one of the things that we're going to be able to come back to you with is, you know, where's the town responsibility,
mm-hmm.
and the plumbing code's responsibility begin? You know, we review the, you know, we're not the design engineer, but we review the plans to make sure there's adequate fire flow for the sprinkler systems in mm-hmm. the homes. And at the fire hydrants, and usually the domestic, the residual or resulting domestic pressure and flow is adequate once we plan for those other events, those fire events. But what we're finding, you know, we've never received complaints like this from systems that we've approved, and then looking at the plumbing code, it may be a plumbing code issue that you may not have a responsibility to provide pressure at the meter, and that if it's below a certain pressure, it becomes a plumbing code issue, and there's always a pressure tank that the homeowner can install in their home to boost the pressure, you know, in their home. Some of it may be required by the plumbing code, some of it may be, you know, if the homeowner wants to do it on their own. So there are minimum pressure requirements for certain fixtures in a home, and the plumbing code says if the water pressure at this is not not able to meet these pressures for a shower, for a dishwasher,
mm-hmm.
for a faucet, then a pressure tank shall be installed. It was never a consideration that development require a storage tank to boost the pressure. You have adequate storage now in the town at an appropriate elevation. So while we had just, you know, there's been some talk that, you know, there's land over there that the town owns and Mr. Landon dedicated
mm-hmm.
For a future water tank. But that was when, if you look at your 2008 comprehensive plan,
mm-hmm.
your growth area like quadruples the size of the town.
Went up to Route 40.
And that mm-hmm. was the thinking at the time. At some point, the town's going to need additional storage.
Mm-hmm.
And we took the opportunity to get land at the highest point in Cool Springs, or near the highest point in Cool Springs, with the idea for a future tank. That was it, in anticipation of a lot of future growth, you know, north of 7
mm-hmm.
and the Tri-Shape property, growth building product.
Mm-hmm.
It was never anticipated that a tank would be needed for Cool Springs itself.
Right. So the tank is also conceivably sufficient for the rest of the build out on Scott Gardens too. Was that contemplated?
Because
mm-hmm. Scott Gardens still has a bit of build out left.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've done the existing storage. There's three elements in the that's built into your storage tank: you know, daily demand, operational demand, and fire flow. And when you plug all those in, you would have adequate storage in your existing tank for the build out of Scott Gardens.
Yeah, because it's in town, and that was known at the time that
right.
Passy announced it.
Right. I don't had the evaluation, but when we reviewed the plans in 2004, 2005, we required the Jim's engineer to submit, you know, studies indicating that there was adequate storage.
You know, for you guys to think about
the pressure,
you know, the future annexation, like Holloway Beach and Charlestown Manor, there's all kinds of undeveloped land out there. And what the engineer has to do is like estimate full build out. So like subdivide all those lots up into tiny, you know, single family detached dwelling lots, and then generate your capacity based on that number.
Commissioner, with one thing we're also going to do is we're getting permission from Mr. Zonar from Keystone to go into the model home so we can see, sort of take our time inside a home. We don't want to ask to go into people's homes. We're hoping to be able to get on the property and take pressure from a hose bin, but we're going to get inside the model home of Keystone and look at the, we don't really do interior plumbing, but our engineer would like to see, you know, how the internal plumbing is designed. Okay. It's not really the town's bailiwick, but we're going to get into and take a pressure inside the model home, which is back near Tarpon as well.
So once we have that data, then we can start to see if there is an issue, whether or not, again, it's a town problem or perhaps a home or county plumbing issue.
We're good.
And then we can go work from there to see what we may need to do. So, okay.
Chris, I don't remember if it was when we talked about this many years ago about the towers and all that kind of stuff. Didn't you give us a report, and I just can't find it at my house, that's fine, on if every lot would actually build here in town for the developments to be fully done, how much capacity do we still have?
Yeah, there's a draft report.
And I just don't remember.
It was like 2015,
2014. I knew it was there. I just can't find my copy of it, so. Do you remember how much?
Well, there's wells, storage, and distribution. I'm not going to be able to say all that. So,
we haven't looked for that yet. Looked for anything else.
So,
when you come up with that, can you? Yes. Let me know so I can get a hold of all these folks and kind of give them an update.
We have a call in to Ms. Kim Armstrong at 141 in there, and George Bryan.
Because I have 175 Cool Springs, 160 Steamboat, 163 Steamboat.
Steamboat?
Yes.
Okay.
You'll give us that list
later? Yeah, I'll give them to you.
Great.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
No, that's it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Jeff?
I was just wondering to comment that I usually don't have too much of a problem.
It's back in the back.
Yeah,
so
it does seem like it's that area.
Like the preserve?
I live up in the old section, Chris, of the Trinity Woods, the very original part, and up on a hill. And I just never seem to have any problem. I mean, water pressure is always pretty good.
Yeah.
I've been there 27 years, and I can't never remember, you know, maybe when the tower was hit worked on, it was a little low, you know, but other than that, no, I like to knock on wood. We've been pretty lucky so far. And about the other thing that I said earlier about the pumping station, that was mentioned to me by Miller Environmental. Josh, they told me something about that they discussed maybe putting a pumping station in to basically pump up the pressure. You know, you know anything about that?
We know of them, usually
they're not necessary
in a small area like this where you have a relatively small geography around your elevated storage tank. You know, you shouldn't have a need for to boost the distribution system.
I see.
And again, a lot of it may fall back on, you know, it's a policy decision, but it also may fall back on the plumbing code says that there are other ways to provide adequate pressure in a home if you can't provide it. So town can decide to do that if you want, but you also should take a look at the responsibilities associated with the actual builders, and I'm not casting aspersions on anybody, but
no.
Your responsibility stops at the meter, and you do your best to provide the pressure that you can based on the investment that you've made. And you can make a decision to increase that or rely on individual home builders to provide the additional pressure.
One last comment on this. I talked to Dave Drinko not too long ago, and I guess when they built that water tower, they built it bigger than they needed at the time, foreseeing, you know, in the possibility of expansion in the future, which was a smart idea, because that same water tower would have cost you a lot more now than it would have back then, or you do it to expand it too, which was a very good idea on the commissioners back then, you know, looking, just, you know, just throw that as a comment, not really as anything pertaining to the situation, but I thought it was a smart idea. Okay, that's it. Sorry.
So now that concludes the agenda. Yes. So let's go around real quick. The commissioners, any comments? Jeff? We have not forgotten you. Jeff, you got
it? I'm good right now.
Okay. Yes. We have another thing from over in that area. Miss Holly would like to find out who maintains the playgrounds in Trinity Woods on Clemency. There's trash and grass and weeds growing up around the outside of it and everything.
That's us.
Yeah, it's us. And we'd like to try to get that cleaned up, please.
Yep, it's on the to-do list this week.
And the house on the corner of Clemency and Revelation, that house needs to be addressed.
That's on my radar as well.
Okay. I got a couple complaints about it.
I received some complaints too.
Yeah. It needs to be addressed also. I won't say why. So also I got a hold of Mr. Stewart and the big rocks that we need. I got them donated.
Oh, great.
For old lot one and old lot two.
Wow.
So whenever we want them, they'll bring them and they'll place them where we want them.
Yeah,
and then all we'll have to do is get the plaque.
Sure.
They can be, we can pick them out.
Oh, wow.
That's exciting. That's
yeah,
very good.
So
very good.
Can go down and pick them out.
Yeah.
This big, that big. Like that. So they'll be nice. Fun. And then I was thinking, since I got those, maybe I would get a couple more, like for the ice house and put it one there.
And the Tory house.
And maybe. The Tory house.
Yeah,
you know, and that way we could kind of stay with the same thing, so people would see all the historical things.
Well, let's do one and two and see how they
And
As a prototype,
the guy hasn't called me back yet. I forget the name of Sarah. I forget it. For the plaque.
Oh, okay, good.
So, but if he doesn't call me soon, because I gave him,
make sure Miss Bot.
Yes. But I want you guys to know that got done later.
Good.
And that's it. I think I promised everybody that I talked to on Facebook and everything. I think I did all my stuff. So
all right. Public comment.
I'll go first to, I'll go first to Pauline.
Yes.
I've got two or three things. First of all, I want to talk about Sandy Beach. I've been the whole year. We cleaned the beach because it was a mess. These boys did a great job on cleaning that big timber and stuff off. I thank Curtis for that, and Bobby and the other boy. They took big timbers off. Great. But we want the fence that's supposed to be put up between us and Speakman. Speakman needs the fence, and we need the fence too. We need it to keep Speakman's things on his side, and our children and dogs cannot run in their yard, and theirs not in their yard. They can use the beach if they want to, but it's another year, and you're still not doing it. I know Curtis says he's trying to get it done, but it's not going to get done. And if you're going to use the workers for a foot long, you're not going to get this done, and it's been over a year. Now, I want the commissioners to say that within the next couple of weeks, a fence will go up, and then we can get the sand in there and take care of making it a beach.
like it's supposed to be.
That's a picnic table.
Coming. Yeah, I was getting ready to get a great comment on that.
We want clean up first before the picnic table.
Right. I'm just curious about
it. Yeah, but we promise you a picnic table.
promise a picnic table, just a regular.
And I did mention the fence, I think, at the last meeting. If you remember correctly, Ms. Pauline. I did mention the fence.
You know, we used to have block parties and things. Mm-hmm. We'd like to have a block party, which contains mostly the block. But we don't consider it just our block.
Right.
It can be anybody in town that wants to come to a block party.
That'd be great. Thanks, Brian.
Well.
Did you have something else? Huh? Did you have something else?
Yeah. Veterans Park. Why in the heck you didn't put a camera on the other side where you could see what was going on at the time it was supposed to be done and talked about? One camera over here and one camera over here. Somebody backed into the sign, tore it all up, knocked it down, got it back up. But if you had a sign, you could see who did it.
Right.
It's true. Camera.
I mean, why haven't you done it when you, and you were the one that I talked to when you were putting it up on one side?
Well, we talked about it. We talked about cameras, and some people didn't want cameras all over the place. Right. And
well, they can't steal
the privacy issues and whatnot, or what have you, and also expense. We'll consider it.
And who checks the film? I mean, I go down there and I wave the camera and I'm taking my belt across.
Okay. Anything else?
No, particularly as I want the fence cleaned up so we can use it decently this year. And I want the fence and I want my picnic table, but not till I say mine, but it's the town, that everybody in the town can come there and use it.
Yeah, to respond, last year we decided just one camera pointing towards the boat ramp, right? Mm-hmm. But this board did.
We did consider
it this year, right? To get another camera pointing towards the beach.
You need
right. So it's been ordered,
yeah.
And it's just a matter of scheduling with Comcast to get it down there.
Right.
So that's moving along.
Yeah.
The camera's been ordered.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
The additional camera, and then once we have it,
we'll just tell me that Comcast in 2 weeks I'm going to see the fence going, and then you can other stuff starting to get done.
Well,
fence is going to be
Sandy Beach is a little trickier, right? What kind of picnic table do we want? What kind of bench and fence? We don't really know where the property line is.
Well,
the property line is where Spakeman's house is sitting over it.
He's on our property.
He's actually
so anyway, put that fence is legal.
It was approved by these commissioners, right. Commissioners.
Yeah,
that they would give him 1 foot, and you tried to tell me 5 foot, and they said 1 foot.
The shrubs
and
are 5 foot.
And then that's where
the
fence goes.
Yeah.
And that was already approved.
What kind of fence was talking about, Brian?
Yeah,
it would be similar to what's out there now.
Okay.
Post center rope.
Wire fence.
Just something to separate off, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think we already talked about this. I'm sure
he wants to drag his feet all the time. No, it's
important to know what we're doing, right?
You are the one that you weren't here when all of this was approved. And then you said, well, I'll have to go back and check.
Yeah.
Well, Ms. Bryant, we will. We have talked about the fence for quite some time. I think we really need to get it surveyed before we go putting the fence up. So that we get it. I know I hate spending money.
I know because he really is. He's over on.
But we need to. We need to know where it is.
And
so we need to get it right.
The back. When
so let's get.
I showed you tonight. There's a truck parked on the back.
Get some estimates and do some surveys. We've talked about it before.
Yep.
So also not only Sandy Beach, but also the wharf.
Right.
Yep.
Yes,
as well.
Yes,
and we talked about even doing football to get us
absolutely
free.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
I did get a reply back, Chris. Just real quick, preliminary reply on footlog. They were like, we don't have any deed for that. Can you give us something? And I thought,
that's going to have to build it.
What's wrong with footlog?
Talking about surveys, see where our property line is.
Property
just like over there at Sandy Beach.
Anybody else want to talk?
Go ahead, Chris.
Wasn't there didn't the Speakmans want to do some
Yes.
Waterfront, yeah. Isn't it a plot plan?
I was going to say he had a plot plan
of a location. So yep. Maybe because I remember looking at the fence and the property.
Mm-hmm. He's done that.
And there's a letter agreement.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I was going to say it's here or somewhere.
Yeah. I mean, just recently.
But he's completed. Right?
Yes. It's already done though.
And Brian, when you do foot log, when you get an estimate from foot log, make it foot log the task because that's all. Town. And it'd
the
be
one
nice.
New homeowner that's yes. Cleaning the whole way to the water.
So, yes. So, okay. So who else for public comment?
I guess on Zoom, Thelma, you have anything else for public comment? Or Val, you have anything else?
No, thanks. I'm good.
Okay, and last is phone number 443-309-1553. You have anything for public comment? Thelma, did you have anything else?
No, I just wanted to thank you guys, you know, it was a good meeting. A lot of stuff covered. Thank you.
Thank you, Thelma.
Brian. Hello.
Robin, sorry. Yeah. You have anything else, Robin?
That's all right. Yes, I do, please. Yeah. I wanted to know if consideration could be, if you could talk about amongst yourself implementing a severe weather alert or an emergency alert for the community residents via text message or email blast, because we knew that there were severe thunderstorms. And everybody was huddled down, but nobody really knew the severity of it, or if there was an emergency, a safety issue that would alert residents to stay inside. Like, we have nothing to know what's going on past our yard after dark.
You know, Robin, we can talk to the county's Department of Emergency Services. Oftentimes, they just relay the messages that they receive from the National Weather Service, and it may not be perfect, but yeah, maybe we can look into a way to relay that message to town residents.
We got nothing.
We talked about this before.
It's good, right? But an alert didn't happen, so it wouldn't have come through on Thursday.
Right.
It wasn't.
And Robin, we have talked about initiating a service, a texting service, where we could do send out blasts and text messages, not only for emergency services or emergency issues, but also, you know, public events or water leaks or what have you. I don't think we've gotten that information yet on cost. We understand it's not an expense. I mean, it may be kind of pricey, but we are looking into it, and we have discussed that because,
and honestly, we want to do a community survey to see if folks would use it, would like it.
Yeah, that would not be a bad
support the cost.
So anyway, look for more to come on that, okay? But we think that's a good idea.
Thanks.
Thank
you. And I have one more thing, please. Brian, when will you be putting out to vote for my suggestion for the two seasonal speed bumps on Water Street?
Well, so we talked about that a little bit at the last meeting, Robin. I think the particular type of speed bump that we own is not conducive for putting out. And then I think that's kind of where the conversation paused.
Yeah. And I think you said it had to have a 60% vote to be approved. I'm just thinking Mother's Day's coming with the launching of the boats, the carriage rides with the horse, and all the Mother's Day dinners. It's good. Water Street, you're not even going to get on Water Street.
All right, let's put out a survey monkey on it. Robin, we'll put out a survey monkey on it. Okay, see what people think.
And maybe if we had had them, maybe that person wouldn't have hit our veteran sign and took it out. You know what I'm saying? It could have been I just worry about Miss Amy when she walks. I just would hate to see someone get hit with a trailer. So, all right, and that's the last time I'm going to mention it. I won't mention it anymore.
Can I say one thing?
Can I say something real
quick
on that? Somebody mentioned the last meeting about the stop signs, like painting something on the pavement or whatever. But when we redo the roads and all that, that rumble strip has a huge effect when you're approaching a stop sign or a stop light or intersection. When people hit that rumble effect, it's like a washboard kind of thing. That really wakes them up. So that might be an idea before the stop signs too. Thank you.
Yeah. Because I walk every day, and poor little Miss Amy, she's got her little hat on and she's not really watching the traffic.
So, all right.
But anyway, thank you very much for taking my call.
Thank you.
Robin.
Thanks, Robin. Thank you. That's it.
All right. Well, then I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
I motion.
Is that one motion? The second by Mr. Fields. All in favor, say aye.
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 Thank you, guys.
Good night.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody.